Hi, this is Mick Murphy of The System. Please don't disturb this groove. Stay right here with the Teddy Bear on LOTL Radio and the rebirth of the Quiet Storm right here at www.lotlradio.com.
Smooth Friday evening. How's everyone doing? It's the Teddy Bear, and welcome to LOTL, the comfort zone. Always bringing real artists, and most importantly, real music back to their waves. And before we begin, I want to send out a very special thank you to the fantastic vocalist, Sharnay Wade. Thank you so much, lovely one, for joining us yesterday evening. And be sure, family, to purchase her new album. Yes, I did say album. The music of Gil Scott-Heron and also Brian Jackson is available everywhere, of course, Amazon, iTunes, and Google Play. But now, as we make that transition to the smoother side of soul, I have been a long and great admirer of this man, along with his very super talented brother, the co-founder, yes, Lord, of the legendary Sly and the Family Stone. It is my honor to welcome to the show the icon, the one and only Mr. Freddie Stone, as we debut the new album, Sly and the Family Stone, live at the Fillmore East. Brother Stone, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing real good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm doing wonderful. It is definitely an honor to have you on the show. And before we get into the new project, of course, I want to let the listeners out there know that Brother Stone is actually in the studio working on a new project. Can you give the listeners out there a little bit more information as far as what you have planned for us?
Well, I have something that I think, let me put it this way. Over the years, when my brother was writing, we happened to tap into the pulse of the people, and which was a good thing. And this album was one of them. And I believe that I've pulsed into the people again. And I think the people will be very happy. I think the fans will be happy. I think it's something that we need to hear. And it has to do with things that I've learned over the years and how I see, you know, our society now, you know, after looking at it for quite some time.
You know,
the funk is still there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, when I was getting ready to interject, I said, it's amazing. Things that you and your brother were talking about years ago are taking place to this day, and it's 2015. For you as a musician, when you kind of sit back and see how not only the music industry has evolved, but society has evolved, do you feel somewhat disappointed where we just really, a lot of today's youth, they just don't get it. They don't understand as far as the things that we're doing, how detrimental it is to our society as a people.
From my perspective, yes. I think that we don't get it as a society. I think that there are overriding factors such as, you know, people have changed to the degree to where instead of just loving one another and just working it out, People have become, I guess I'm going to have to be frank in order to get this out.
Please do.
I think people have become greedy. People have become kind of people that will do whatever it takes to make money, you know, by any means. And and it's just made things a lot worse. And but I having on the upside of that, I for me, I'm so glad they came out with the internet. I'm so glad the internet came out. As you know, it wasn't out in our day. I can remember the first phone I had. It was a briefcase phone. And one that I carried in the briefcase, and I pressed buttons, you know, in order to get, you know, my dial tone and stuff. But because of the internet, things have come to light that, according to some of the readings that I do in the scriptures, things have come to light that were hidden in darkness. And I think it's great because it enables all of us to take a look at all of us. And it's been a tremendous blessing to me because truly everybody is a star, in my brother's words. And, and it is a family affair, in my brother's words. And it's been a blessing. To me.
You know, the incredible thing for me, because I have the majority of Sly and the Family Stone's music. I still have it on wax. I mean, albums that I've held near and dear for me for over, 20-some-odd years. And when I listen to songs with Al, I'm like, there's a riot going on. Don't call me nigger whitey. Don't call me whitey nigger. And I find it in today's society how apropos the things that we see mm-hmm. transpire as far as racism in mm-hmm. our society, in the music industry. They want to put it basically in this. That's one thing about the show. I love the idea if we can just be frank and straightforward. I've always felt as far as the industry is concerned, it's basically a pimp and hoe mentality. And I say, they want to put these artists out there. They want to pimp them and get them for as much as they want, steal the royalties, keep them unaware as far as their money and income is concerned. And then when they get tired of you, they want to push you to the curb. And I want your mm-hmm. feelings and your thoughts on that.
I think it's, I have said to some friends of mine, over the years, you look back and you see that I put it like this: you're a piece of meat,
right?
And that's what you are. And I believe that there is a strategy that takes you up, and then there's a strategy that when the meat is no more viable, or when they think it is no more viable, or when they want to move someone else there, there's a strategy to take you down. It's, in other words, some people, you know, may think that, you know, someone fell, you know, from grace, so to speak, or someone isn't doing this, or that group isn't doing that. But I think that there's something more sinister than that going on. I think that there is a strategy because of the powers that be here on earth, that is, the powers that be can actually bring you up and then strategically take you down. And you don't know how to operate in that arena until you're down.
Right.
but then when you're down, they don't want you to get back up because now right. They know you know how to operate in that arena.
Right. Do you think from your perspective, we're pretty much being systematically somewhat targeted or eliminated for failure?
Let's say it again.
I said, do you think in some regards that we're being systematically targeted or targeted to fail, to not succeed, just in life in general?
I think that, as people, we're targeted to succeed to a level. You mentioned racism a little earlier.
Yes.
And I've been a Christian for 35 years now. And you probably already know this, but in case you didn't know this, it also has its way in the church.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's a powerful force that you're dealing with. When you can, it's understandable sometimes. For me, it was understandable after a while, you know, to encounter it outside, you know, but I was certainly surprised when I realized that it was inside also, in the church, that is.
Right.
So I think we're targeted. Yes. I think, yes. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay, you know, in this sense for me, because the way the church is run is not what the scriptures teach. And so my confidence is in the scriptures as to how this all will end.
Right. Just want to kind of piggyback on a little bit as far as church scriptures and also music. Your entire family grew up in a church household. I mean, as far as very church oriented, very family oriented. And I've always looked at Sly and the Family Stone as our own personal, you know, church choir, you know,
yes.
Trying to spread, you know, spread the gospel of love, positive thinking, mm-hmm. you know, no color lines. We're all people. We're all God's people.
Absolutely.
And you touched upon something, and I really want the listeners to get this. When you touched upon earlier about today's social media, when you sit back and you see some of the things that are transpiring with social media, as far as how we choose, because our life is about choices, how we choose to basically put ourselves in situations and compromising situations, knowing full well that it's not benefiting us as a people. How does that make you feel? See what social media has done, or what we've allowed it to do instead of using it in a positive manner?
Well, I talked to a friend of mine that was working with one of the premier entertainers, gospel entertainers, that gentleman on the board of Shirley Caesar. And he told me once, he says, you know, he says, I'd rather deal with, you know, secular media rather than deal with some of the people that I've encountered here. It's very strange how all this works and works itself out. But I do know that if I do believe that, let me put it that way, I believe that if you compromise, just make one compromise, that's your road, and you're going down. And I think that's all they want you to do, is just compromise. And when you compromise, you're caught. When you compromise, you're in bondage. When you compromise, you're caught, so to speak. That is, if you want to continue doing what you're doing. And then some of the things that we do as church people, let me put it that way, we sometimes think that I can do this, I'll call it my work, you know, even though scripture may say something different. I'm just doing it because it's my job, it's my work. Well, you can say all you want, but I know that when they go home, they read those scriptures, and the scripture is very clear about what they say about certain things. Compromise is something that once you do that, I believe that you lose credibility, at least for a while. There's a long road back up to gain the trust of your friends, your fans, to gain the trust of just to maintain. That's all we have. You can't compromise. You just can't compromise.
Right.
You can't compromise. I've been in the body since 1980, and I've carefully chosen to do certain things.
Right.
And I've carefully stayed out of the light on purpose. Now, not because I think that some of my brothers and sisters, as a matter of fact, Cynthia Robinson, who plays trumpet, you know, with the group, and Gregor Rico, talented drummer. In fact, all of Blind Family Stone, absolutely phenomenal. But when I see what they're doing today, like Cynthia and Jerry and Greg, I think they're still gigging and doing some of the old songs and so on and so forth. And I've been asked to do that. And I don't see anything wrong with what they're doing. I teach sometimes if you're singing a song and it's a song of truth, if it's true, and if it doesn't violate the scriptures, then you can do that. But even though I say that, I don't even go out and gig at all too much anymore, only because there's a particular call, I believe, on everyone's life.
Right.
And yours, mine, definitely you're a teddy bear.
Absolutely.
And so my baby girl said, teddy bear. And teddy bear sound definitely like the big, if it's teddy bear, it must be big daddy teddy bear. You know, but you can't compromise it, because it's so people listen to you, they pay attention to every word that you say. Many people are looking to stab you in the back.
Right.
I have a song that's going to be on the CD that's coming out. I think if I remember correctly, it starts off, it says, stabbed in the back and left for dead. They didn't do the things they said. They smiled in my face, and when we turned around, they tried to stomp us to the ground. Had no mercy, not at all. Nevertheless, we did stand tall. The power they had couldn't keep us down, because our goal was sure and our message was sound. We're going to rise again. And you have to, it's painful, it's not fun a lot of the times, you know, but it's worth it. Because right. I'm telling you, I have a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun. Every once in a while I see Rusty and I get together, you know, and Greg and I talk, Jerry and I talk, Cynthia and I talk, and these are some beautiful people, you know. And sometimes people say, you know, because they're not doing what you're doing, are you saying they're wrong? I said, no, I'm not saying they're wrong. I don't have the authority to say anybody's wrong, except for me. I know that I'm wrong. I'm not judging anybody along those lines. Right. I'm just saying I'm doing what I believe I'm supposed to do. And I believe my brother and sister, my friend, my neighbor, they're doing what they believe they're supposed to. So no, I'm not here to say who's wrong and right. You know, that's the way it is. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, you
I begin to think about so many other things after right. mentioning the group, because we go back so far.
You know, I must admit, and I say when I have Brother Stone on the show, I said I have to admit something. When, and I know a lot of people listen to this show, and I don't want to sound blasphemous or disrespectful. What I'll say is this: is that growing up in the era of music that I grew up in, listening to you, it was like listening to our own personal Messiah, listening to your brother, listening to you guys collectively perform, making everyone socially conscious of what is taking place. It was our own personal church. You know, everyone mm-hmm. could relate to what we were going through, you know, as a people in the 60s, the 70s. And when that just kind of tailed off and fell apart, it's like, you know, is it like you like a bunch of lost sheep wandering in the desert, looking, you know, for someone. And here it is, it's 2015. And I'm yeah. for my own selfish reasons, I can honestly say to you, along with you and your super talented brother, and collectively with your sister and also the entire Sly and the Family Stone, man, you guys are sorely, sorely missed. And that's just from a selfish perspective for me. I mean, your music is so desperately needed right now. It's just ridiculous.
Well, you know what? We're working on something. I was talking with my sister and my niece. Her name is Lisa. And they too have been working with Elton John for about the last 2 years, I believe.
Okay.
And we started talking last night about getting together. Greg and I talk about it time to time, and we've been talking about it a lot more since they proclaimed in Oakland not too long ago. Sly and the Family Stone Day. And Jerry and I, we've always talked about it. I have songs that Jerry has almost learned that goes on the next album, you know, on the next CD, I should say. I guess you can tell that I'm OG. but he's ready. And right. it's amazing because I have not had the privilege or honor of playing with any other musicians in all my life that meets the caliber or the stature of these musicians. It's amazing. It's not just that. It's almost like we gelled because we were all that different.
Right.
You know, Larry, thank God we found him in Oakland playing jazz with his mother still. And that was a mind blower. And right. he was already a dynamite jazz bass player then, you know. Oh, and Jerry had known my brother for years, and I didn't know that. Cynthia had met my brother, and Greg was playing in South San Francisco, and I had come to San Francisco to live there from Vallejo, and my brother got on the radio, and he was a great disc jockey, and he was telling everybody, I got a brother in town, he wants to start a band, he's having auditions at the house, you know, and I meet Greg And he's such a dynamite player. And I'm thinking, wow, this brother can play. And that's before, and in where we came from here in Vallejo, there's no, I mean, people were saying, you know, was he black or was he white? Was he this, was he that? And no one's taking offense at anything. But this brother was the best white boy that I had heard. You know, and my brother right. came to me once after a gig and said, man, you know what, we need to start a group together, because he had a band and I had a band. He said, you just get the best guys, man, out of your band. I'll get the best out of mine, you know. So what do you think about that? I said, I'll think about it. We thought about it. And Greg, you got to come. I mean, you play. You not only play, you play. I mean, you make a definite statement. You are bold in your play. You're not going to be intimidated, you know, at all. And everything went from there. And we rehearsed at my mom's house. And we had just great, great musical chemistry. You know, and plus we laughed at a lot of things. And we were funny to each other. And we laughed with each other and laughed at each other. We just had a great time. And my mom and dad, who were holding it down, they were churchmen. And my mom's side, her I think she's the 16th child. Okay. And her family's from Texas, and they're all church people. And on my dad's side, which is ironic, my dad's side, his people are from Texas, and they're all gangsters. And so we had a great, so we had a great mixture there. You know, my dad was as quiet and sweet and gentle, just a gentle man, you know. And there's a story why he's gentle, and that'll go into the book. but it was great. We just had everything was, and I do believe, especially now. I don't believe things just popped into place.
Right.
You know, I don't think we just popped into place. Come on. I think at some point you get old enough to know, you know, the things just don't pop into place. The way your life is going, it just didn't pop into place. You know, I really do believe that God is orchestrating everything. And, especially, I really believe that when I don't understand what in the world is going on in the world.
Right.
You know, that gives me all the more belief to know that, you know, God is orchestrating this thing. But anyway, that word that sticks to me is that word compromise. And compromise is a kind of thing to where sometimes I think when my brothers and sisters compromise and do certain things, it causes people to not know what a Christian is, or not know what a Christian is supposed to be, or perhaps to say, oh, I guess a Christian is no different than us. We just, they're a club like we're a club. I think compromise is very dangerous. I think compromising has hurt us. I think compromise has confused a lot of people. I think a lot of young people are confused. I think a lot of things that we see on the tube confuse people, you know. And I had a prayer one time with the Lord, and I asked him, you know, what do you want me to do with the music? You know, but I asked him, I said to him, I don't want to go anywhere or do anything that will bring a reproach upon my Lord Christ. I don't want to do anything that may cause someone to stumble or someone to not know what the message is about. I don't want to confuse anybody. I don't want to do that. If I'm going to get out there and fall on my face and cause people to stumble and people be confused and think that this is this and that's that and this is this and you can, this is okay and that's okay according to the gospel, according to Freddie Stone. If that's what's going to happen, I'd rather not go. keep me in the background. You know, keep me in the background. It's not that important. It's more important to me. It's more, right. You know, that I get it right on this side, because I think by now everybody knows that whatever you believe about spirit, soul, or body, everybody knows they're going to continue to exist in some form.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Do you feel now in this point in your life that, as far as that you said, and I really truly appreciate your honesty, your brutal honesty, as far as church and Christianity, we have a lot of people that are actually leery about going to church because they don't feel welcomed in church for whatever reason. Do you feel now that your music is the best way to reach out to a lot of the people that feel that they're not welcome in church, to let them know that, hey, there is another way? I'm seeing and I'm hearing all the things that are taking place, and I'm here to let you know.
If they hear, if they hear the music, they're going to know that.
Right.
I'm kind of laughing because my bishop in Kojic, we call it Kojic. That's our not our slang, but our quick way to say Church of God in Christ.
Right.
But our Kojic, and all Kojics aren't the same, by the way. But my Kojic bishop, his name is Bishop Jerry Macklin. And he is the third leader in the denomination, the second administrative assistant. And he told me one time, he says, because you know when you join churches, you know, when you get a group of churches together, you may form something, what they call a district, and maybe there might be five or six churches that fellowship together in one area, and maybe five or six, seven churches fellowship in another area, you know, that kind of thing. And then at a certain point in time, you all come together for a big service, you know, and then it culminates at in St. Louis or Memphis. I don't know what they're going to do in the future, before they have a huge service. But he said to me once, he said, you know what, Brother Stewart, Pastor, he says, I don't really know where to put you. He says, because your church, your music is not like everybody else. It's in there, he said, but doesn't fit with everybody else. I don't know where to put you. And that's because because of who you are, you can't change who you are. And some of our music is may sound a little bit like slide music, you know, and some of our words may sound a little bit like slide words. Sign the Family Stone words. Some of our beats definitely may sound like it, and our voicing may be sounding like it. The worship songs, you know, they're just us. And I believe that, I know for a fact that everyone that has come there and have enjoyed our praise and worship, they've enjoyed it because of its freshness. They consider it fresh. And I've been doing it since I was 12 or 13, but they consider it fresh. You know, but I think that anybody that comes to our church and hear what we have to say, I believe they'll be blessed. And a lot of times, I've found out truthfully that some of the things I'm, for instance, I'm going to say this, and I don't know how long this interview is, but I'm going to say this, and I'm going to go, if that's okay.
Oh, not a problem.
And I'm saying this because I just heard my wife's brother, who just got in this morning at 6 a.m. He went to sleep and he came back to the house. They just drove in from Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
And I'm in Vallejo, and that's a 24-hour trip driving. And her sister came in last night on the plane.
Okay.
And I know that there are about four or five people in the other room, and I hear them now. And I know I need to go in there.
Oh, it's not a problem.
But I remember when I was on this, when I first became a Christian, I was on this. They took me right out, and they wanted me to learn a street ministry. And at that time, my pastor was Bishop Crouch, the late Andre Crouch's dad.
Right.
Okay, he was my bishop in 1980. And I went out on the street, and they said, you're supposed to go out and do a street witness, a witness preaching, you know. And I know what it was. So what I did, I start telling everybody, you're going to hell. Everybody that came down the street, you're going to hell. You don't know Jesus. You're going to hell. And everything I could think of. If you're drinking, you're going to hell. If you're smoking cigarettes, you're going to hell. You're smoking. And I just named everything I could name. And that went on, I guess, for just a few minutes. When someone came to me and said, that's not what God is saying. That's not God wants you to tell people. He doesn't want you to tell people that. And from that moment, I assumed that that's what it was because I had heard that somewhere before. And I found out over these 30 years that there are so many things that people don't know, that they assume, and they speak out of that. There are some things that some Christians say to people that are absolutely cruel. And as a person that did that on the first day, it's out of ignorance. They have no clue. They don't know what God knows or what God wants, and it's a sad thing, and it has hurt the body of Christ. And I've talked about it to our church for years, and it's a burden that we have to carry, because some people have gone out and done some ignorant things and said some ignorant things. Or said, just being cruel, proclaiming a loving God. And then I decided something else. I decided, you know what? Jesus said, he said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, you know, to every creature, baptizing them. Said it twice, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And he also said in Mark, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's what he said. But there's something else he said. He says, over in Corinthians, he says, the natural man does not receive things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness with him, for he cannot understand them. And so, over the years, I've learned that there are some spiritual things. The Bible is a spiritual book, and there are spiritual things that are taught, but natural people get a hold of them and try to teach them to natural people. And natural people kind of understand them because they're not awakened yet, because the gospel hasn't either been proclaimed or it's been proclaimed and they haven't received. And so it boggles my mind why I see so many of my brothers and sisters proclaim something that is spiritual to natural minds that cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, and then get upset because they were taken out of context. They weren't taken out of context. You didn't give it to them in a context where they can understand it. In other words, what I'm saying is that when we get to the scriptures, I speak to people who are spiritual. People who are not spiritual, I ask them if they want to receive Jesus as Lord. If they don't want to receive Jesus as Lord, which is okay, it's their choice. But if they don't want to, then don't talk to me about spiritual things, because you're not going to understand them, because right. you're not alive to spiritual things. And so when I tell you something, you're going to get upset. You're going to say, I'm saying this and I'm saying that, and this is wrong and that's wrong, and this is right and that's right, and you want to give me your position. But the point is that you're dead to Christ if you haven't received the Lord Jesus. And I'm speaking of the scriptures of the Holy Bible. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. And so I see a lot of that today. And so I just say, wow. I said, if anybody asks me any questions, I said, I'm just going to have to ask. First of all, let me ask you, are you a born-again believer? Because if you're not a born-again believer, you are not going to understand my explanation.
Right.
Because the Bible says you cannot do it. At any rate, brother, teddy bear.
Yes, Lord.
How tall are you, bro?
Actually, six feet.
Well, your voice sounds like 8 feet. Listen, would you please forgive me? I have some people here, especially from Denver. They're going to be visiting us until the 1st, at which time my wife is going to go back and visit with them. That's where all my wife's people are.
Okay.
They're all from Denver. Okay. All my people are from here. And I've been married to Melody, my wife, for 33, going on 33 years now. And all of her people are from there. And all of my people are here and in Texas. And so she's so excited about having them. And every 4 years or so, you know, we come and we get together, have a great time. And so I just wanted to show them a good time. And if I have not answered some of the questions that you want to ask or need to ask, I'll more than happy to you again at any time. Just set it up or talk to Christy or whatever the case may be, and we'll get together, my brother.
Oh, absolutely. No, first and foremost, I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule and honoring us this evening. This is definitely your home. I cannot wait for your new project, solo project, to come out so we can debut it here first. Whatever you need, please do not hesitate to let us know.
All right, my brother. All right.
God bless.
All right.
God bless. All right. The legendary Mr. Freddie Stone of Sly and the Family Stone. My goodness. The Teddy Bear's Cup definitely runneth over on a magnificent Friday evening. Speaking of magnificent, hey, I haven't forgotten about you. Let's get into it. Some new music from the legendary Sly and the Family Stone, live at the Fillmore East, 1968. Dance to the music here in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio.
understood that the dance children just won't have. You might like to hear my organ. I said, right, right now. Cynthia and Terry, if I could hear, I want to go to the air on the drum. Cynthia and Terry got my message. I'm saying that.
We say on the
street. Ah, baby. Yeah, it's on the music. This is the boy, baby. Boom, 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 boom,
Sly and the Family Stone live at the Fillmore East, 1968. The new album available everywhere, iTunes, Google Play. But for those who like to live more adventurous, you can always head over to Amazon.com. And a very, very special thank you to the icon, the legendary Mr. Freddie Stone. Thank you so much, brother, for joining us, honoring us this evening. And remember, family, he is in the studio working on a new project. And when it is ready, like grandma's cookies, even if they're somewhat still soft, that's all right. We got something for you. We're going to debut it here first. We're going to definitely get into some more cuts from Sly and the Family Stone's new album. But in the meantime, is it okay if we kind of rewind to a much simpler time with a little bit of a hot fun in the summertime here in the comfort zone of LOTL Radio?
Summer day, oh summer day.
wonderful for you to see. I'm about to go, and behind you'll know for me to stay. I got to be me. You'll never be in doubt. That's what it's all about. You can't take me for granted and smile. Count on three. Because I promise I'll be gone for a while. When you see me again, I hope that you have been the kind of person that you really are now. Got to get in straight. How could I ever be late when you're my woman taking up my time? Oh, how could you ever allow? I wonder. Fun, ha, ha, when you know that you never know too. Number one, gonna be number one. I'll be good, I wish I could. I get this message, so what do you now? When you see me again, I hope that you have been the kind of person you really are now. I'll be so good, I wish I could get the message over to you now.
Here are Sly and Family, known as Stone. Yeah. This is for all my guests. If you want beautiful hair, listen to this message about Greg Shim.
A dribble dip of Sly and the Family Stone. Thank you for letting me be myself again. Have mercy. And before that, of course, if you want me to stay here in the comfort zone of LOTL Radio, man, as we get into selected tracks from the new album from Sly and the Family Stone. Of course, Sly and the Family Stone live at the Fillmore East, 1968. And for those who are tuning in late, shame on you. The Teddy Bear does forgive you again. It was truly an honor to have on the legendary Freddie Stone, and again, he is in the studio working his magic. He's gonna bless us with some new music, and when it's ready, you know how we do it. We will debut it here first, but to get all the latest updates, let your fingers do the walking. Head on over to the official website. That's at www.lotlradio. No. I fooled you. No. It's at LOTL. TheComfortZone.com. And if that's not enough to tantalize your musical palate for information, you can always catch up with us on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/LOTL Radio. Also on Facebook. And yes, we're also on Instagram. Facebook is at LOTL Radio, The Comfort Zone. And also on Instagram. That's at instagram.com/LOTL, The Comfort Zone. You say, well, Teddy, when you're not on the air, we need some blueprint music. We need some substance in our life. Well, stay at the official website 24 hours, 365 days, including leap years added, have mercy, nonstop, live streaming music. And for those who say, you know what, I like to be able to request a song or dedicate a particular song to that very special someone, or I like to have a certain artist appear on your show. Hey, I've seen the need, and we're here to fulfill that need. We're here to give you what you want. Yes, we do. We have definitely a guest, a request line. Yes, we do. When you go on the official website, all you got to do is click on contact. And you pull it up, you can either send us an email, or better yet, hey, send a request. We make sure that we will definitely get it on here. Hey, that's what I'm here to do, to help everyone escape the matrix of synthetic music. And speaking of matrix and helping everyone escape, let's get into some more, of course, the new album, Sly and the Family Stone, live at the Fillmore East with my lady here in the comfort zone of LOTL Radio.
Hey, 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 hey. This is a song called St. James Infirmary.
Thank you.
Mercy on me, Sly and the Family Stone, from the album Live at the Fillmore East, 1968, with it's a beautiful thing, St. James Infirmary in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio. A lot of people to thank. My goodness, first and foremost, again, I want to send out a very special thank you again to the legendary Mr. Freddie Stone of Sly and the Family Stone. Thank you so much. It was truly an honor to have you on, Brother Stone. And again, he will be back very soon in the studio working on some new communication music. That's what we'll call it, to convey his thoughts. I can only wait and I can only imagine. But when it's ready, we will definitely have him back on and we will debut it here first. And be sure to stop by Brother Stone's official website. That's at Freddie Stone, C as in Charles, ISUM.com. You can also catch up with him on Facebook. That's at Facebook.com/Stone, C-I-S-U-M. And last, but certainly not least, you can also catch up with him on Twitter. That's at Twitter.com/Fred Stone, C-I-S-U-M. And of course, by me being the teddy bear, often imitated, but never quite duplicated, you can always get all the latest updates. Let your fingers do the walking. Stop by the official website. That's at www.lotlthecomfortzone.com. You can also catch up with us on Twitter as at twitter.com/LOTO radio, and also on Instagram. Yeah, we're on Instagram. That's at instagram.com/LOTL the comfort zone. Man, it's been a beautiful thing. Always a beautiful thing, because we want our music, we want our real music shaken but never stirred. Lord have mercy. I want everyone to have a fantastic extra cuddly weekend. Be safe out there. Wake up to music. Go to sleep with music therapy. And until I see you again back on air, take care of yourself. A lot of uber love to you. We're going to close it from the legendary Isley Brothers, Voyage to Atlantis. God bless here in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio.
Everybody, this is your boy Royce Carr, a.k.a. Mr. Stroking Strings and Keys, making beats and rhymes, and you're listening to Reggie Teddy Bear Ford on LOTL Radio, The Comfort Zone.
Thank you.